Exposed Vegan Media Podcast. I am your host, Jaja Porter, a wife, mom, triathlete, and vegan chef. On this channel, you'll experience my ongoing docuseries, capturing my swim, bike, run, and nutrition journey, featuring all the people I interact with along the way. We are back. We are at episode 7. This broadcast is brought to you by Exposed Vegan Media. I cannot wait to share this panel today. We are here to discuss Ironman 70.3 Chattanooga and what a time it was. And now I'm going to hand it over to our guests. I'm first going to ask them if they can share their why. I will start with a return guest. I still stalk her. We met in Chattanooga. I actually found her on social media, and I found out that she was going to be in the expo, and I went to find her and talked to her for almost 20 minutes, and she finally said, "What's your name?" So I will now hand it over to Khadija, if you wouldn't mind sharing your why. Why triathlon and why multisport?
My name is Khadija Diggs, and I've always loved to swim. I've always loved to run, kind of, sort of, shorter distances, but always loved to run. And it's just become my way of traveling the world, seeing the world on my bike, and meeting amazing people. So that's my why. And I get a kick out of helping other people who've been told that they can't do something, do something. So that's kind of my why.
Thank you. And thank you for joining me again.
Yes.
Cynthia, can you please share with us your why? Why multisport? Why triathlon?
So I'm Tiancia James. I started off as a distance runner. And I think what drew me to triathlon was just this idea that, you know, when you're young and people ask you what you want to do, you say you want to be an astronaut or the president, you dream really big, and then you get into life and you kind of get stuck. And so for me, and also for my kids, I always wanted to show them that you don't have to stop dreaming. You could have big goals and big adventures. And so that's what really drew me to multi-sport, but particularly long distance triathlon, where you get to go miles and miles across the country through all sorts of terrain. So that has been pretty cool for me.
Thank you. And I love to follow your journey. So thank you for sharing with us today. Emmanuel, we met now in person in Chattanooga. So another person I got a chance to meet in Chattanooga. I think that I just have to keep coming to this race because I get to meet great people. Please share with us your why triathlon and why multisport?
Thanks, Jaja. Thanks for having me. It was great to see. It's funny. It's kind of like you all, like Khadija, Tiancia, you, like, there's a few people I see on, you know, Jamie, Ariel. I see a bunch of, and just throughout the years, this is like my 10th year of triathlon, but I see a bunch of posts from y'all in different groups, and you're kind of like little celebrities. I mean, so I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm like, I've seen you, like, you're Jaja, like, you don't know who I am, but it was so good to see you and introduce myself to you in person. But for me, my why is, I feel like for me, I come from, I guess, a running background. I did cross country in high school and track, things like that. But I'm really a soccer player, so I guess that's an endurance sport in a way. But I played soccer for the longest time, even just after college, just like locally in adult leagues and stuff like that. But the injuries and things like that were kind of a reason I kind of shifted to something a little bit more or less contact, you know? And so I did my first, I think my first half iron, my half marathon. And then I did a full marathon. I was like, wow, this is really cool. And so like the shifting from like a 5K mentality as far as pace took me a while, because I was like, there's no way I would run a marathon, that type of thing. And so once I kind of got through the idea of endurance sports and I did my first marathon, within the same month, I did my first triathlon. And after that, it was kind of hooked. And I noticed there wasn't a lot of people to look like me out there, right? So I'm just like, a lot of ways I joke, and I was like, I'm doing it for the culture, you know? It's like, we're out here, we have to be seen, you know? And I don't want to just be here. I want to be competitive, that type of thing. So I continue to want to, you know, be involved in the sport. I'm not tired of it yet. And I, you know, I just look forward to continuing to meet people. So that's kind of my why. It's like, I want to continue to be better. I feel like triathlon is one of those sports where there's always areas to improve between the different disciplines, and, you know, the courses make it challenging. So, I mean, I'm here for it.
That's awesome. And it was very nice to meet you in person. Thank you for introducing yourself and the expo. I knew your name. And once I saw your face, I'm like, oh, I've seen you before. So it was great to meet you in person. That said, all three of you are seasoned athletes. Maybe you can share a little bit more. Like, are you on a team? Do you coach? Or is there, do you have a coach? Are you a coached athlete? Tensia, we'll start with you.
Okay. So I kind of do all of the above. So I've been on Dynamo multi-sport team for a while, and I do have a coach, Haley Chura. And then last year, or maybe 2 years now, I started my own coaching business, Razor Strong Endurance. I also coach athletes as well.
Awesome. Yeah. Khadija, we'll go to you.
So I don't belong to a team per se. I do have a nonprofit that creates a team of three women every year that I coach at no cost. It's part of my way to give back and to encourage other Muslim women to race. My coach is on the call, Tiansia J. This is, and one of the reasons I actually started the nonprofit for coaching for so many years, I could not afford, and I didn't have the opportunity to have a coach. And a lot of people look at stuff as the barrier to becoming competitive and the barrier to entry. I felt like, even for myself, some of the barriers to being competitive, some of the barriers to entry was having professional coaching. And even now, even though sometimes you have to slow down to go faster, I can see how my mindset and my physiology is changing with having a coach. Right now, I coach three women, one of whom is going to the WT World Championships for the Aquabike. Two who are just beginners, and then two Muslim men who said that it wasn't fair that I only coach the women. they're paid athletes, and they recognize that any money that I make goes to keeping DISC open and making sure that those opportunities are available for other Muslim women. So I'm grateful for them.
Thank you. And Emmanuel, how about you? Are you on a team? Do you coach? Do you have a coach?
Gotcha. Yeah, I do not have a coach. I don't really train with a team per se. There is like a community of triathletes here in Roanoke that sometimes we'll do group things together. But, you know, and if there's a bunch of us at a race, we might all be under that team. But I guess if you count Team Varlo, I mean, it's kind of like I don't really there's no Varlo athletes where I live, anything like that, but they do organize some group activities. And Team Varlo is kind of the first, kind of quote unquote, team I've kind of raced with for this season. So, but ultimately I don't have an actual team that I guess train with. So.
Awesome. Okay. So we have a variety here, and I'm with Team Varlo as well. Kind of first, Teachers with Team Varlo, kind of the first group that I really feel like is very diverse. Mm-hmm. I'm represented well. I feel like it's a great community. So I've enjoyed being a part of Team Varlo this year. And I mostly train with everyone who's virtual. So I'm kind of like you, Emmanuel. I don't have local people to train with. I'm just talking to people in Messenger.
We do hook up sometimes. I mean, I'll drive to Charlotte, or I'll say, yo, I'm going to be in Chattanooga or something. And then a group of us will show up. I'm famous for living out of a van. I've been living out of a van for the past 3.5 years. And I will park in someone's driveway, train with them all weekend, and then leave.
Yes, so. Khadija is one of those people that I send a message to and like, look, I bought what you told people to get and it's working. So I still bother her on a regular weekly basis. So I would definitely consider that someone I train with, and she has been in my driveway or share Airbnbs. And so, you know, I definitely have folks that I am very close to. And this year for me, I'm using TriDot.
Okay.
I didn't have the best experience with coaches, but TriDot has been working for me. And maybe after I stop paying for college and other things like that, then I can work the other things back into the budget. So in elder care. But yeah, that's what's going on with me. But let's get into 70.3 Chattanooga. So what made you all choose this course? Khadijah, we'll start with you. Share a little bit about like why Chattanooga.
I like this race. I think I've done it six times, maybe six, might be seven. Wow. But it's like a local race for Atlanta athletes. It's only 2 hours away. I park in the parking lot and I live in the parking lot the whole time. So there's no, it's almost a free race for me. And I like the fact that I don't like easy courses. Flat and fast doesn't interest me. Chattanooga, you know, it's a decent difficulty course. So I really like it. And it's always full. I mean, there's just a ton of people there. It just makes it exciting. So.
Cynthia, what about you?
Kind of like Khadijah, it's a local race, but for me, I do my race selection a little bit differently. I usually let my family pick my races. And so there's some races that I won't go back to because my husband doesn't like the food or there's nothing to do for the kids. And Chattanooga is awesome because you can go to the aquarium, you can go to the rock climbing wall or to the museum, and they let you come in and out. So they don't track, they'll track me all day and then they'll pop out and cheer for me. And right at the finish, there's an ice cream shop. So because of those reasons, we've been doing Chattanooga. I think every year they've had it. And it's just a favorite. They love it. It's very family oriented.
Yeah. What about you, Emmanuel?
So Chattanooga is my first time doing the Chattanooga 70.3. So there was about 20 some athletes from the Roanoke area that were going to Chattanooga to do the race. And so, I hooked up with a few people. We got a Airbnb and kind of coordinated travel because logistics sometimes can be a barrier to some of the races, especially going by myself. And so whenever there's like an opportunity for a course that might interest me, you know, then I'll go up for it. So I really enjoyed the course and I'll definitely be back. And I think if I were to do the full, I think my next full would be the Chattanooga full. So really like the course.
Yeah, see, I wasn't sure. I think it might have been one of my first to do it. So I came in, I'm like, I don't know why I registered for this hilly course. I've been doing all these flat courses, but, you know, racing with friends is fun. Mm-hmm. And I knew two ladies that were going to be there, and I just came from Texas. So I'm like, well, if anything, I get to see people, hang out with them, say hey. Tell them all my problems, let them give me free advice. And, you know, that's a win-win. They clearly know what they're doing. So if anything, I'll get that out of it. And it's not that far of a drive. For me, it's almost 5 hours. Uh-huh. And I was just there a couple weeks ago, but I can still drive, right? I'm not flying. I don't have to pack my bike. I could put all my food in my car because to me, it's all about the food. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, well, this is, you know, not going to be bad. And I went into it thinking like, oh my God, this race. But now that I think about it, it was one of my first 70.3s. So I think I came into it like, this is going to, because I saw Emmanuel, I'm like, the run sucks. And this is going to tell you from the beginning, it's going to be this. And I didn't feel that way racing. So I think I need to get my mind out of that. And one thing I will say about Chattanooga, they have a really good Facebook group. Mm. They are very welcoming. They have a lot of great information. A lot of the Ironman 70.3 races will have a Facebook group, and sometimes you'll see people, you know, sometimes it's a good crowd, sometimes it's not. It was an awesome group. Beginners were allowed to ask questions over and over and over again, and people were still kind to them. So as I started to prepare for the race, I realized, okay, I'm about to join a really friendly community, because if you're nice online, that might be nice in person. Yeah. So, you know, shout out to those that are in that Facebook group. So, yeah, I was kind of looking forward to it just because I knew I was going to know people. And just online, you know, I met a lot of kind people. And then I got to meet them in person, which was awesome. So let's get into, Emmanuel, what did you do to prepare for this race? This was going to be your first time. Was there anything special you want to share with folks on what you did to prepare for Chattanooga 70.3?
Yes. So actually, I used Tryout as well. I didn't know if they counted or not. But I've been using Tryout for a couple of years, and actually took it more seriously this time around because the sometimes I'll try to do what I can with some of the prescribed workouts. And, you know, with TriDot, you test every 4 to 6 weeks or so, and it'll adjust, you know, some of the thresholds for some of the workouts and things like that. So a lot of my training was primarily TriDot. And basically, what I did, I didn't do anything particularly outside of TriDot. You know, like I definitely did like some things with my equipment, like my bike. I got a different bike, a triathlon bike. It was fairly close to the race, about 2 weeks out, but it was worth it to me to switch it out. But aside from that, it was kind of just like studying the course, kind of knowing, figuring out what my power levels were going to be on the bike, on the run, and also just my heart rate, all those different things. So kind of like strategizing. And really, something that kind of gets overlooked from a newbie aspect is the nutrition, right? That's like the fourth discipline almost. So it's like trying to figure out, okay, how much hydration do I need to worry about per hour? And this temperature is going to be hot. You know, how many calories should I be looking at? And then how am I going to like maneuver, like with work with the water aid stations, all those different things. So like I tried something new this race with like using concentrated nutrition. So I went from two like bottle cages on my bike to one in my aero bottle, my aero bar bottle. So I only had like two type of hydration options for this new bike. And so I tried something new that worked out. So I just kind of did all my nutrition. I was kind of planning all that out as well. So a lot of just TriDot and then just like logistics and figuring out how I'm going to get everything in.
So you had a bullet in the front and then a mm-hmm. bottle. Yeah, that's pretty standard. Yeah.
Yeah, I was used to three. So maybe I'm moving on up in this. So it worked out well.
Yeah, I feel like nutrition is, again, it's another discipline, but it's something that I'm always focused on. Because in my mind, I'm like, if anything else goes wrong, at least the nutrition right, because I got to get back home because I'm here by myself. Yeah. So that, to me, if you're focused there, there's a lot of things you can prevent, like passing out because you're dehydrated. Yeah. You know, there's so many things that can go wrong if your nutrition goes wrong. So that sounds like it was a good plan. Khadija, what about you? What did you do to prepare for this race?
Well, this is the first, I would say, semi-uninterrupted training block that I had. I say coach me, and then I say right after I get back from Cuba, right after Ramadan is over. So this was so I said coach me, and then sprung two surprises on her. But I'm just training straight through to Lake Placid. I've been very vocal about the fact I want to try to go to Nice. And the reason being, I had qualified to go to Nice before and I turned it down because there was a lot going on in France at the time. They'd put up a ban on Muslim women from participating in sports. And I'd been through a lot that year and I just didn't want to deal with it. The ban is still there. France even tried to ban women in hijab from participating in the Olympics. They banned athletes from their country from participating in hijab. But of course, the Olympic Committee stepped in and said, you can't do that for everybody. And I'm not tired anymore. I plan to go there. If I qualify, I plan to go there and race well and invite every Muslim and Cuban I know in Europe to come cheer me on and to be there and make it known that we're athletes and we're here to stay and we're going to compete as we are. We're not changing for anyone.
Like that.
Yeah, well, I'm here for it. In case you're going to stalk her and follow her around, that's one of the big reasons. That has motivated so many. And I remember when I first met you, I couldn't wait to tell you before I told you my name. several cousins that were Muslim, and I was always sharing your posts and tagging them and sharing your stories. And so you've motivated them so much to continue to work through the endurance sport covered. So thank you.
Yeah. I relate to your comment about doing it for the culture. There's some races I'm like, oh, you know, but it's like, they're not going to see me out here in my hijab being weak or not finishing.
Unless it's
a health issue or I just can't finish, even if I have to walk across that line, I'm crossing it. So I get it.
Yep. Nancy, what about you?
So I guess each season I try to tweak things and do things a little different. So my two things for this season is taking it less seriously and slowing down. So in terms of taking less seriously, it's not that I'm skipping workouts and I'm not doing hard things. But I think as athletes and especially as motivated athletes, we're super critical. We have these goals that we're trying to hit. And when we don't hit, we get all wrapped up into that. And so this year, the focus is just showing up. I'm going to attempt everything I have planned. Some days it'll happen, some days it won't. But I'm going to really enjoy the journey and the workout, the fact that I'm healthy and that I get to do this. And a lot of people who would love to do this can't. And just to approach my training with that mindset. So that's one thing that I've definitely changed. And the other thing is to slow down, particularly with the running. So a lot of aerobic runs, I think we do a little too fast, and that can sometimes limit how well you get to do the hard stuff or even how many miles you can accumulate. So I've purposely added a lot of trail runs with my son. Sometimes I'll go out and I won't even record it. And I have no idea what pace I'm going, but then I mix that with like the super serious structured stuff. And I think, again, it's added to my overall enjoyment, but I do think there's a lot of fitness gains because you don't wear yourself out mentally and physically as much. So those are kind of the two things I've done for Chattanooga, and hopefully I'm going to keep it going for the year.
Thank you for sharing that, because I've been doing a lot of trail running with my friend Mina. Mm-hmm. And I do that on the weekends. And so a lot of times I'm doing that for enjoyment, you know, just to get out of the house. And for me, this season has just been me getting past grief, and just enjoying the sport more and just, you know, loving it. Mm-hmm. And so as I've been having that as a new focus, and like, okay, I'm going to rebuild swimming. I'll, you know, hire a swim coach and build that discipline. Okay, now I'm going to focus on, you know, cycling, get a new trainer, get a new area to that I enjoy doing it. And then just trail running, I've noticed that I've, you know, picked up so many more gains because I've taken those other things out and really trying to live and enjoy the sport.
Yeah.
And I've performed so much better and I'm performing better now that I do that. So it's so interesting that you say that. So thank you for sharing that, because I feel like that's an approach that we share. Mm-hmm. All right. So now the swim. I normally do not like the swim because this is always seems to be the most contact. I get beat up. But I was so excited when Tensia had shared how wide the river was. And I forgot that about this race because I had just finished going to battle in Texas.
Oh, wow.
That the turns in Texas. And so, you know, I had that in my mind, like, oh, let's just get this. Let's just get this part over with. But then we saw you and you reminded me, like, no, wait, there's a lot of space for all the swimmers. So can you share, Tensie, how your swim went for the race?
So I had a great swim. I loved the beginning of the race because I saw both you and Khadija. I don't know if I saw you, Emmanuel, at the swim. No, actually, I think I did see you. But yeah, it was nice to like line up with like your sisters and have conversations. So that part was really cool for me. It's always a perfect morning. I think it was what, like 60 degrees and the, you know, just the river was beautiful. I had a really good swim. It's hard to kind of figure out time wise how you did because you do have that current. But I didn't get beat up. My goggles didn't come off. Like there was no drama. There's no turns. So this is my favorite swim of the entire circuit. So I was really happy with my swim.
Yeah. I was really happy. And I was happy that you reminded me what it was going to be like. That took a lot of the edge off of the, you know, me complaining about we're about to get beat up. And then I was like, oh, it's nice out here. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. Khadija, how about you? How was your swim?
Yeah, the swim is always my favorite. My goal was to stay focused. A lot of times when I start swimming, the swim for me is just about remembering where and how I learned how to swim. My father taught me how to swim. I learned how to swim in the ocean, unlike a lot of people who learned how to swim in the pool. So my goal was to stay focused the entire swim. And I did up until the very end, because I was like, oh, you're not sighting. I looked up. I was like, oh, crap, there's the red buoy. I guess I should. So I think I stayed pretty focused the whole swim. And it was, you know, it was pretty standard. The swim and the bike for me are usually pretty standard. I see small gains, but they're consistent gains. So that's what I was happy about. And that was my goal, stay focused on the swim and just have us stay my standard bike. So.
And you gave me the tip that when I got to the end, you were like, I just sight on the wall. So I just kept swimming until I saw the wall. I was like, oh, here's the wall. Okay.
Yeah. that's why I encourage everybody, even if you normally breathe to the right, learn how to bilateral breathe, because there are races where knowing how to breathe on both sides, or there are things you can sight off of where you don't have to physically lift your head, will make things a lot easier. So I just breathe however I want. And then when I go under that second bridge, I'm like, okay, take a few strokes, and then you just start breathing to the left.
Yeah. So I was thankful for both of your tips in the beginning, because it just made that so much easier. So once I got there, I was like, oh, she's right, this is easy. And before you knew it, we were done. Emmanuel, how was your swim?
Well, I hate to swim for real, but and that's why I'm still here, right? That's why I'm still here. No, I think what's interesting about, for me, all right, so disclaimer, that was only my second open water swim of the year, 2024. So I missed some opportunities that the local tri club had to swim. But I'm past the point where I get anxious about swimming. It's like, it'll be fine. It's like, I know it's going to be not the best, but I'll get through it. It's fine. So for me, this was interesting because I've never did like a jump off the dock in the water. Because one of my big fears about swimming is that water gets in my goggles and I just can't see, and I don't have anywhere to like dump them out and stick my goggles away. So as soon as I jumped in, I tried to like have my hands on my goggles and I jump in, and then I get water in my goggles. So for the first, I don't know how many yards, I'm just like swimming somewhere. So once I swim to a kayaker, and that's hard enough because you got to hold on, your feet going up. And so I got my goggles adjusted and I started swimming again, but I had a good amount of contact with people. Like, people were swimming into me. I swim into a few people. And so like the first 10 to 15 minutes, I was just trying to get into a rhythm, you know? And so like, thank gosh for the current, because who knows how slow I would've been. Cause I did like a 149 pace. And to me on paper, that looks like, okay, I did all right. But I'm like, man, it probably would have been in 2 minutes if it wasn't for the current. So for me, it was kind of like, once I got past that, like the anxiety of having water in my goggles, trying to figure that out, and then trying to get past people. Some people swimming like diagonally across me. I don't know where they were going. But, I was like, man, the river's wide, but how come my part of the river has so much traffic? So
this is my story.
The next time you stay with us.
Yeah,
we didn't have any of that going on. You see,
I'm telling you, man. And someone told me, "Oh, you know, you could have sat down and scooted in." I was like, "I didn't know that was an option, so I'll do that next time." But once I got into a rhythm, and I do this thing now, like, and this is where a coach comes in handy, because I know in the pool I use a 6-beat kick, but I've always felt more comfortable open water using a 2-beat kick. I can just glide, and so like I did that, and I favor breathing to my left anyway, but I do bilateral, but. For this swim, I just swam to my left, followed the wall. And like I said, once I got into a rhythm, it was fun. I was enjoying it and it was good. So ultimately it was good. Could always be better, but I know not to beat myself up on the swim, because I don't do a lot of open water swimming in the first place out here. I should, but I don't. But I think it was good.
Yeah, well, that's good. Well, you made it, clearly.
I made it.
Yeah. And I did hold on to my goggles. I feel like I've seen a bunch of things where friends have jumped from higher distances, and I always see them holding their goggles. So now I just automatically do that to make sure, you know, nothing happens. And then once I was in, I just kept going. But next time you stick with us, and then we don't have it.
Oh, you know what? Tiencia gave me some great tips. Actually, I made a note in my phone called Tiencia's Tips.
she's really famous.
We talked at the in the Athletes Village, and she gave me a whole bunch. So nice, gave me a whole bunch of tips. She's another person. I was like, I know you. And so anyway, one of her tips was like, because of the current is so fast, like whatever swim corral you're gonna go with, go up a little bit further. And so I normally would have put like 150s, like one with that group, but I went with like the 137 to 140 swim group, and it was perfect because, I'm sorry, the 37-minute to 40-minute group. And so I ended up getting like 40 minutes because of the current. And so I think moving up past who knows how many people, 30, 40, 50 people, was great because there's less, you know, of those people out to pass on the bike and then transition. So that was a great tip.
Yeah, next year you're coming up with us.
Yep.
Where were y'all at? Like
we were in the front.
Right to the front.
Wow.
I guess if everybody did this, eventually the system would fall apart. But yeah. I find that, you know, you get further up, swimmers, it's a big wide river and the swimmers are better. So the good swimmers don't swim over you. They don't swim diagonal. Okay. So you have a better swim, and it's right. Chattanooga is one of those races that they always sell out. So the course is just packed. And then it's not only the swim, it's the bike. So I always find I just have a better race by going up front, and I feel like it's fine. So we're going to drag you with us next time. We're going to look for you.
It's a great tip. Cause when you think about it, I didn't actually get to the water. It was like 40 minutes, it was like 7:40, right? Like the race started at 7:03 for amateurs. I was probably like 7:40, 7:45 by the time I got in the water from the group I was with. So that's a great idea.
I'd sit on the edge and I kind of do almost like a half belly flop dive because I race in a lot of different leagues, I guess. So sometimes for the WT races, we dive off of a pontoon or we do in water starts. So it's not to worry about my goggles. I kind of just quick sit down and it's almost like a belly flop, like a slight dive, and you just keep your head tucked in. So it's almost like diving in a pool. Because the whole jump in, you sink down and then you got to get yourself back up.
Oh,
it's a lot.
Yeah. That was my method, but I mean, I survived it. It's fine. You didn't give me that tip earlier when we were hanging out.
I'm sorry.
Probably should have had that conversation.
And you need to get a rocker plate.
Yeah.
Ooh, that's nice. For the bike? Yeah, that sounds good.
But like I said, I learn new things every time we have these discussions about things you didn't tell me. So it's fine. So, Amanda, keep walking us through. How was your swim to bike transition? Anything you want to share about your transition, about to get ready to ride, or were you just glad it was over and let's get on this bike?
Yeah, so for some reason, I got some baby cramps on the swim. And at one point, it was in both my hamstrings. I was like, I'm at the point now where I don't get like really like terrified. I was like, okay, I just need to, I'm almost there, keep going. So like I swam through them, but coming out of the swim on those rails, that's when they got in real hard. They locked in. And so I was like, this is great. So a couple of people pulled me up and I had to kind of walk through those cramps. But by the time I got in transition, it was fine. So I read a tip. I think it was like sometime within the past week or so before the race about like slowing your heart rate down. Like some people are gung-ho in transition and they're flipping stuff off and everything. And so I slowed down purposely to get my heart rate down. I made use of the wetsuit strippers, which is great. It was my first time using them. That was great because I would have totally cramped up beyond repair trying to take my wetsuit off by myself. So I kind of like regained my composure in transition. And I did this thing where I don't know where I got it from, but I do these like cue cards for pre-race T1, T2, just a reminder, like, you know, so like when I go in transition, I'll look at what I wrote down for my transition one. I'll say, okay, make sure I do this. This is my heart rate goal. This is my power goal. Don't forget these and these things. And so like, I was able to kind of look at my little cue card, get everything on and then, get ready to roll. So it was pretty, pretty seamless transition to the bike.
Yeah. That's a good plan versus me coming out and seeing people like, hi, and like, what am I doing? Maybe I could use a cue card to focus because there was the folks I think that were relaying. And, you know, again, people you see on Facebook, but you've never seen in person. It was right. Like, hi, you know, I'm doing all that. I need to focus that I'm supposed to be getting on my bike. So, yeah, good plan. Cue card. Cynthia, how was your swim to bike transition?
You know, I always have fun. That's the one transition that I really enjoy because you're not yet beat up by the race. You know what I'm saying? And for me, the swim is probably my least favorite session. So I always get excited to get out the water and to get ready to get on my bike. So I was running up the ramp. I was looking for people who I knew were out there cheering and really just having a good time. I had a really good bike spot in transition. I was right outside of the exit, the bike out, which is good because I still don't do a fly mount. I actually put my shoes on and then get on my bike. So it was very smooth. I think over the years, I've gotten my transition smaller and smaller, and I have no decisions I need to make. So it's just pretty quick. I just go get my bike. Everything's already on my bike and just head out.
Yeah. I don't do a fly mount either, even though I've recorded Khadija multiple times and I look and then I'm just like, just like, why? I mean, put myself through the stress. I'll just watch her. So yeah. Katie, how was your swim to bike transition?
It was good. I did have a little bit trouble getting up the ramp. I was slipping a little bit, but I love my wetsuit. It pops off really quick. I don't use wetsuit strippers. I just pull it down halfway and then two steps and it pops out. Everything I do a flying mount. All my nutrition, everything, cleats, everything's attached. So I slide on a hijab, pull off my swim cap, and put my helmet on and I'm out. The crazy thing is the swim is where I'm at most peace. Mm-hmm. But when I get on the bike is when I turn into let's go get these. But I'm learning. I have coaches telling me to calm down a little bit on the bike. So, but yeah, I go from this peaceful creature to that when I get on the bike. So yeah. But it was pretty. I mean, it wasn't fast. I did try to gather myself because I wanted to get my mentality. I wanted to have a good swim and a good run. So my mentality was, okay, take it down a notch. You don't have to catch all the, and I won't get you bleeped out. So just catch a few. So it was pretty smooth, pretty standard, a little bit slower than normal, but pretty standard.
Yeah, I was happy with my position. Where I was, because I got there early, so I was able to get an early, a lower number. But I will say I'm excited. I think they've transitioned from strippers to peelers. So I'm so glad they're back, because as soon as I was looking, running, I was like, yay, help me! I was just like, take this thing off! So, just get on the ground! And they take this thing off of you, so yeah. I'm very excited that they're back, and thank you to all those that volunteer in that space. I am always grateful.
Yeah, but next year they need to play proper stripper music. They have to have Cardi B on blast while they peel off our
wounds. Have some Luda going. Luda! You know.
You know. I will add that to the Facebook page. Since they're very kind and accommodating. So now on to the bike. Tanisha, why don't you share with us your riding experience?
Oh, wow. it was a lot. It was a lot. The bike course was good until it wasn't good. I've done that course multiple times, so I know it like the back of my hand. So I always get on the bike and I'm really focused, because that first like 5 miles, that's when people's bike bottles go flying and you're kind of dodging people as you make your way up through the crowd. But by the time I got onto the loop part of it, I was kind of in my element. You know, I was passing people. I was in aero. The first hiccup I had was I couldn't really see. I have a Giro arrowhead and my visor was cracked. And I don't know if that was the issue, but the whole thing was just fogged up and it wouldn't unfog. And so at one point I just took the $50 visor off and I tossed it at the at the aid station. So I usually don't like to bike without glasses or any sort of eye protection. So that was different, but you do what you got to do. But I was pretty happy with everything. And then I got to 36 miles and we were on a flat section, which I was grateful for, and my tire flatted. And so I was really grateful that I felt it, because, you know, Chattanooga has a lot of rolling hills. And if you're going on a descent at a high speed and you're trying to turn, and you get a flat, sometimes it can make you unstable. So, you know, instead of getting all frustrated, I just got off my bike really calm. But at the point where it flatted, I was in the middle of nowhere. Like, we were in between aid stations. So there was nothing kind of next to me. And at first, I wasn't really worried because I know how to change a tire. I figured it would set me back a little bit, but I would get back on. But I forgot my Allen key. And I was talking to Khadija about this, and I'm going to take your advice. I have several bikes at home. I have four bikes, and all of them are quick release except my race bike. And I have this bike changing kit, and sometimes I move it from bike to bike. And I think I moved the kit that did not have the Allen key onto my race bike. And my race bike has a through axle, so you can't actually take the wheel off without the Allen key. And so once I was flatted on the side of the road, I couldn't get the wheel off. And I just was watching the whole race go by. And I figured, you know, there's officials here that, you know, somebody will pass me. But it took a really, really, really long time before official finally came by. And when the first official came by, he didn't have an Allen key either. So he had to radio the mechanic. And then once the mechanic came, they got me kind of back on the course. So it was a big production. It was getting hot. There was no coverage. I was just outside on the side of the road. So the good things were is usually when I race, I usually have an extra bottle, particularly in Chattanooga, because sometimes if you hit a railroad just right, things go flying. But I was so grateful being stuck out there for like 40 minutes just in the hot sun that I could eat and drink. And I think that really saved the back half of my race. But once I got back on the bike, you know, it was pretty frustrating because I went into the race with a lot of aggressive goals about times and things I wanted to accomplish. But when I got back on the bike, I think I just had to get my mind right and decide that I was just going to race the race that I was in. And it actually, I think I enjoyed it more because I was no longer watching my power meter. I wasn't watching my time. There was no point at that point. I was just having a really good time. So despite the mishap that I had in the middle, I'm really grateful that number one, Andrew, the mechanic, came to save me with the Allen key and I got back on the course. And that I had a good ride in between the whole fiasco, and that never again will I forget my Allen key when I use my bike with the through axle.
I know I saw it when I was dying on the course. Someone called my name, and then I looked and I was like, that can't be her. All the way back. And I was like, she had a mechanical. Like, there's no way. So I was like, I'll just find out what happened later. Cause that's, I didn't see her from the front. I just see someone zoom, zoom, let's go. And going all around and past people. I was like, I think that was her. But I'm like, that had to be her. Who else is going around all these people and getting them out of her way? It had to be her. She had to have a mechanical. There's no way. But I was glad to see you're okay. I was like, I'll find out later.
Yeah, that was my only worry, though, with my family being there, is that, you know, I was worried that they were worried that something might have happened because obviously they're tracking me and then I stop. So, that, you know.
When the track is not, like, what's going on? In my mind, whenever I see people, I'm like, oh, I'll call someone because I know I can't help you. Like, I've really been doing with my own bike. So I know I can't help you, but I may have had the tools. I don't know.
I mean, but the thing is, everybody's out there racing, so I didn't expect anybody to stop. I'm expecting that an official or somebody will come by. So yeah.
If I would have saw you, I would have stopped. I didn't consider it my A race. I'd have been like, "What are you doing?" Like, I would have been carrying it. I would have gone on my bike. Like, why are you standing here? Do you need to race me? I would have done something like that.
But I will say the one thing I did learn is that it's a totally different race from the front of the bike to the back of the bike. So it's actually much harder in the back. The wind picks up, the traffic, because people are waking up.
The cars were
getting onto the course, and we didn't have that in the front. So it's actually a much harder race in the back, you know?
Mm-hmm. I tell people, when you're in the back of the pack, you have a harder race. The wind is there. There's more people. They open up roads. It's really hot when you're in the back of the pack.
There were a lot of bikes out there. Like, this is my first, because this, I guess, is my fourth or fifth half Ironman distance. And I've never had so many people that, like, some of them were two abreast, some of them were three abreast. Like, on descents, there's, like, at least three or four times I had to break on a descent because someone was in front of me, like, two or three bikes in the lane. It's just super, at least on the front of the bike, the first half of the bike course, it was just like really congested, and But again, it's a very popular course, and you know, it, and like Khadija was saying, there were several crashes as well. But I'm just glad that I, you know, was able to get through and not have any major issues, because it was definitely some tight spots, because it was like a car coming on, but there's three people mm-hmm. aside, and you know, it was you had to definitely stay alert.
Yeah.
I lost my nerve on the back end. There was one guy, his bike looked like aluminum foil just crushed in a ball, and he was covered in blood. And usually that last, I guess it's like a 8 mile stretch where it's kind of a rolling descent. Mm. I'm full blast in the biggest gears I got on that. I kind of lost my nerve on that section, and I usually gain a lot of time. I was just like, you know, these people, and then guys who don't want to get passed by a girl, they'll pass you on the inside and all kinds of crazy stuff.
Oh, goodness.
There were more crashes than normal, and I didn't see hardly any officials, and I was really surprised.
Yeah,
there was one time I was doing a descent, and a woman was thinking she should coast, but we were all behind her, and I was like, pedal! Make us all break! And I think she realized, like, oh, you're talking to me. Like, yeah, me and the 10 people behind you. You don't pedal your bike. This is no break time. So, I do remember that one situation. But otherwise, I thought it was pretty good bike. Again, I thought it was better than what I remembered. But mm-hmm. I'm like, well, that was like almost 10 years ago. So maybe I should come back into this race with different expectations about how I think it sucks. Full run sucks, but we'll talk about it after you finish it, when you come back from that, and let us know. Khadija, anything else you want to share about your bike? Because I know, Emmanuel, you just shared. Anything else you want to share about your bike experience?
No, it's a great bike course. I like it. I like being out in the country, just ride my bike.
You look good when you pass me. You were in complete arrow, just this vision of purple just...
You're on the side of the coast. You're on the side of the road, like, come on.
I love cycling. I really do. It's the one sport that's like truly new to me, and I love bikes. I love cycling. So,
okay. So now let's get into the bike to run transition. Khadija, how was that? And then share with us your run experience.
I felt good. Especially the fact that I didn't push the back end of the bike. I felt good initially coming out of the run, and I was excited. I'm on a podcast if we were riding, and Sarah True was coming around the corner as I was leaving out the first mile. And I raised my hand and I said, yes. And we've never met in person. We've only met through the podcast. And she looks, and then she looks again. She's like, oh, it's Khadija. So that was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. The official looks at me and then looks at her. So it was, that was pretty fun. And I felt really good. It started heating up, though. It really started heating up. And my run is emerging. I'm trying to change the way I run. I come from a quasi-sprinter background. I specialized in the 400 and the 800 when I was in college. And even many, 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 many years later, I still run like an 800-meter runner going slow. Mm-hmm. So that's why one of the reasons I'm really glad to be working with a coach, because I've never considered myself to be a distance runner. So I'm trying to transform the way I run into a distance runner, because I can run a good mile, a good 5K, but I've never run a really solid half marathon or marathon, and that's one of the things I want to do over the next couple of years. Is just, I don't have to be blazing fast, but just be solid on the run, because I know I can run a lot faster than I've been running.
Yeah, the run's not my favorite, but I just have ailments that I'm trying to work through. Even though I expected it to be a lot worse, and it could be Puerto Rico. Now, Puerto Rico's run really sucks. And I think, I was thinking like, oh, here we go again. And Puerto Rico, like, they name sections of their runs, like the Terminator, the Microwave. And that's how you know it sucks. Like on Instagram, they name sections that suck. So when I was, you know, I started running, I'm like, oh, this run sucks. And I started running, I was like, you know, it's not so bad. We sure are going downhill a lot. This is not like Puerto Rico. I'm like, actually, I think I'm having a good time, even though I was a little bit of pain. It wasn't as bad as I was expecting. I mean, I don't love that you start uphill, but I think throughout I was like, okay, this is not as bad as I was anticipating it to be. So my issue is just always, I just need to get out of my head. Like, stop expecting it to be so bad.
I actually like the run course.
I know.
I just don't like that narrow section. But the highway and the over the bridge, I actually like those sections.
Yeah, it wasn't as bad as I was like anticipating it to be, like close to dying and all that. I think that's the full. So we'll just leave that to that one.
But you said you weren't going to mention it until TNC did it again.
I know. I'm sorry. Yeah. I know she has specific goals for the run, so I shouldn't even talk. Okay, Amanda, how was your bike to run experience? Tell us about your run.
Oh, it was good. It was good. So the bike, because it was a newer bike, I didn't have a chance to put a power meter on the bike. And so I did the bike through heart rate. So TriDot gave me kind of a range. And so I didn't push as hard on the bike. And I kind of know from experience that a really strong bike for me means a really weak run. So I did dial it back a little bit on the bike. And so when I transitioned, you know, again, I had a cue card for T2, you know, like sometimes like it's like reapplying sunscreen or whatever, or making sure I get, you know, different things. And so I actually ran with hydration. I don't normally do that, but I knew it was going to be a hot one. And then I actually ran with concentrated. So like all the nutrition I needed, like I think I did Tailwind. So like 2 hours worth of Tailwind. And I was just going to drink from the aid station and do my concentrated mix. And so the run was actually probably the best part of the race because I actually kind of did like negative splits. I started off again with the mentality that there's this guy, I forget his name, but he came up with the 20% rule. He was an age group return pro triathlete. Someone referenced it in the chatty 70.3 Facebook group, but he was saying like 20% of the swim start below race pace. That's like 400 meters, get into a groove, 20% of the bike, you know, like 5 or 10 miles in, go below race pace, get adjusted, get your heart rate right, and then go. And so for the run going in, I knew I was going to go below race pace for a few miles, right? Like a couple miles. And even still, like I always get cramps off the bike. So within the first mile, I kind of had to stop and stretch a little bit, but that was the only time I had to stop. And so I just continued to stay hydrated. And I think part of my run success was that I did make sure that I stayed hydrated on the bike. And so in the past, I didn't do as well on the bike, staying hydrated. So I really focused on that. But ultimately on the run, I run with the power meter, but I didn't reference it at all on the run. I just wanted to do heart rate work. So I kind of stayed within, like, you know, for example, for me, like 140 to 145 on my heartbeat for the first 6 miles. And then I wanted to do like 147 to 152 on the half. And so I was able to kind of, take that approach. And
that's your heart rate?
Well, just for like my zone 3 for this race, that's where I was at. So I was doing zone 3.
I wake up and my heart rate's 145.
that's you're always training. You're always training. See? So I was like, I kind of used it to throttle because sometimes I was going too fast. So I slowed down and I took shorter strides but to avoid the hamstring cramps that I was feeling. So whatever it was like, it ended up being like my better run. So I was kind of able to I think I averaged like 9:46 on the run. And the thing is like, I want to be way faster, but it's like baby steps, right? So this was a good race for that, considering the heat and the hills and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's definitely a journey. So I think being mindful of the heat, because I saw a couple of videos on Instagram and some didn't do so well in the heat. So that was definitely a good plan. So kudos to you for that. Cynthia, how was your run transition and to the run experience?
I have never been so happy to start the run in my life. So I think I was the happiest person to start that run course because for a minute there, I didn't know if I was going to make it. So I just had a totally different perspective. I didn't look at my watch at all. I've done Chattanooga multiple times. So my biggest thing on the run is heat management, because it can get so hot and humid. And so I got this new hat that has the little pockets in the back. And it was perfect. I would get ice and I would stuff it in the little pockets and then it would melt down the back of my neck. And I have my handheld water bottle. And so sometimes I would drink it, but most times I'm just squirting it in my face, just really trying to keep my temperature down. I did most of the run by feel, but I love that course. I love the history of it, at least for me. Like, I've done it so many times in the full and the half, and I've had some debacles. So I'm almost like chuckling to myself when I get to a point that I totally disintegrated on and I'm actually feeling good. So, and then when you get to the part where you're running and you can see the river and you're just thinking, wow, I swam all the way down. Yeah. And, you know, it's really cool. You get to the bridge and, you know, I mean, yes, it's painful. It's a little hill there, but I really enjoyed the run. I had a really good race considering, you know, everything from the bike. So I was really happy with the way the run went. And I saw Derek was out there cheering. I saw some of my other friends with the horn. So it was pretty cool.
She was the happiest runner on the course. She passed, and I was at that point. I was pissed off, and she's like, "Come on, let's go." I'm like, "What are you so damn happy
about?" Off the bike. That's what I was happy about.
I was like, "Look at her smiling."
No. But the reason why I was so happy is a couple of things. I did the full a couple of years ago, and had a complete meltdown. I was having stomach pain because I think my nutrition went sideways. But when we were running up the first part, when you're going up that hill and there's like the road on the side, across the road, there's an urgent care. And I remember during that Ironman thinking, I wonder if I could check myself into the urgent care. I think I might be having bowel ischemia. Like I literally was dying. So it was so hilarious. I was like, oh, there's the urgent care. Okay. We're feeling good this time.
But that's good. You can take yourself through that journey that you had in the past. And you're like, nope, not today. I'm like, that was a good day. I don't feel like checking myself in and telling them all my symptoms. So, yeah.
Yeah, I think that's like kind of an overall theme for me. There was this book by a guy named Dan Sullivan. It's called The Gap and the Game. And it's basically the whole concept that, you know, you can choose to look at any situation looking at the gap, which is the difference between where you are and where you want to go. And we always are, you know, very aggressive with our goals. And so you're never going to get there. It's like the horizon. When you break 6 hours, you're going to be happy for like 2 minutes, and then you're going to want to break 550. And then you're going to want to break 540. So you don't really get satisfaction if you live in that space. But if you try to live more in the game, so instead of looking at where you are and where you're trying to go, if you look back how far you've come, that really fills you with a lot of confidence, I think. So a lot of times when I go to these races, especially if the wheels are falling off, I bring myself back to like 10 years ago when I couldn't even think of doing what I'm doing now. And that is just a whole different way to look at the race that I think keeps you going when things get hard.
Yeah. Okay, now I have a book to look up after this. So sharing that, because it sounds like a good read. And it's true, because as I look back, I'm like, maybe I didn't love it because it was like the second 70.3 that I've done, like 14 later. It doesn't seem as bad. So it's definitely good to kind of look at your gains and look at how far you've come through your journey. So going through the finish line, Emmanuel, how did you feel? Like, you're done? Walk us through that finish line experience.
Yes. All right. So shout out to the guy that I was trying to chase down, because he kind of gave me that strong push. And I couldn't catch him after that. That's like this one little tough hill you got to walk up or run up or whatever. And then, so I was like, basically the last, I want to say like the last maybe 0.1 or whatever, maybe I was around 13 miles. I was probably doing like a 8:27 pace. I was like, I'm going to find this guy. But so anyhow, when I came to the finish line, so I was like, I think I saw a post on the Facebook page for Chattanooga about like finish line etiquette and, you know, like making sure you're not like messing up someone's, you know, passing people.
I know, it's a good age.
Yeah, so I looked around, I was like, oh, I got space. All right, so I was like, I'll let the people go in front of me. I want to get a good shot. The photos weren't that great, but the finish line experience was good. Like, I always love, like, Ironman spoils you in a lot of different ways. But, like, if you're doing like a local half versus an Ironman half, like, you got the MDOT carpet and the people lined up. So it was always a great finish line experience. And so when I came through, it was great. I liked the little area they had with, they had like a lot of different little things I hadn't seen before. Like a little ice plunge tub and some shotguns and stuff. And I didn't do any of that stuff, but I thought it was cool. There was a lot of people there, but yeah, it was great. This time I remembered to take a picture with the little like backdrop, you know, with your medal. Cause I think when I did Ironman Tulsa a few years back, I forgot. And I didn't really have any good photos from the finish line for that. So, but it was good. It was great. I just like immediately went somewhere and started stretching and it was good.
Yeah, I saw your pictures. I was like, oh, his pictures look nice. Let me go see if mine looks nice. They didn't look as great, but I was like, you know, glad I finished. And I was good with some of the finish line photos.
Absolutely,
but yeah, everything looked like it turned out well. Khadija, how about you going through the finish line?
I never get my photos because it seems like because I wear the exact same thing every single time. So it's like it's hard for me to figure out, like, what race was that? It was like, but I enjoyed the finish because Mike Ragsdale and I have history, long history of it's I think I met him, it might have been 2015, and we had a really bad experience, but he came to me at Ironman Florida and actually apologized and said that he'd been following me on social media, and he respected what I was trying to do, and we've been like furious friends ever since. And we always joke about the fact that everybody calls me Khadija, everybody knows me as Khadija except the bank and my mother and evidently Iron Man. So he always called me by both names when I crossed the finish line. And we've made it clear that it's not my government name, it's my government name. So he says, yes, here comes Khadija, her government name. It's fun. I enjoy coming through the finish line, just seeing everybody there. And they're always, I have never been to a race where there hasn't been someone from BTA or one of the other groups to support me. I mean, literally on the other side of the world. When I raced in South Africa, when I raced in Dubai, all these crazy places that I've raced, there's always someone there. So I always enjoy the finish line. Yeah. My favorite finish, you're speaking about etiquette, my favorite finish line was there was a gentleman I met in Ironman Florida. It was his first Ironman. And I guess he read the etiquette book too. He said, oh, I don't want to mess up your finish line picture. So I grabbed his hand. I was like, no, we're going to cross together so that we never forget each other. And the funniest thing was I got so many DMs on, who's the guy? Are you guys together? Like, no, I met him on the course. That's it.
Race experience. God. Yeah. Having a moment.
That's my favorite finish line picture.
Tessia, how was your finish line experience?
So I had a great finish line experience. For me, the finish line is always about one thing, which is finding my family. So when I first started, I made the mistake of, like I said, being super serious. Like I was going for a time, every second count. And I think it was my first Ironman or it may have been my first half, but my kids were really little at that time and they had their hands out and I sped past to get the best time, and it was years before they let me live that down. Like they were so mad about that. So I promised myself after that race, I don't care if I'm like gonna be first place and I'm fighting second place, I have to find their little hands and I have to give each one of them a high five. And so they were all there waiting for me, so I made a beeline to the side and I slapped all their hands and ran in. So it was a great finish line.
I love that.
Yeah,
I know when my kids are there, that's the first thing I want to see. I remember in Texas when I saw them, they had just flown in to catch me off the bike. And I was so happy to see them. And I really wanted it to be done because I wanted to
how horrible my bike ride was. But I was like, it's so good to see you. I gotta go run a marathon now, but I'll see you later on the course. So, but it does give you life when you see your family and you just become so grateful, you know, for them.
And the funny thing is, I can never eat after the race, like right after the race. So as I'm going to the food tent, my kids are giving me their orders and I'm getting them the chips that they want and the Sprite that they want. And they're looking at me like, why is she grabbing all this stuff?
Well, I was happy that they had veggie options because I was like, wait, we have veggie sandwiches? And I took all kinds of chips. I think when we were talking after the race, I had like five. I was like, hold on, let me put my chips away. I'm like, I'm tearing these up. I'm always so hungry when the race is over. I'm like very disciplined leading up to, but then when it's over, it's over. I'm like, can I get a Sprite? Actually, can I get two? So yeah, I go to town in that tent when everything's over. So officially, congratulations to you all. I think Tensia and Khadija, you do have some news. We have some qualifications that happen. Can you please share?
We're headed to Finland. We're headed to Finland.
I'm excited. Zealand, New Zealand.
New Zealand. Why did I say Finland? New Zealand. Yeah, we're headed to New Zealand. I've never been to New Zealand. It's I'm excited to be racing again with Tensia because we did South Africa together. So I'm excited to go. I had to change like my entire race schedule, but I was like, oh crap, I accepted this and I don't even know what's on my calendar.
But
I think it'll be exciting.
It's just one where it's like no matter what happens on the race, you should never, it's like never over. Like you should keep going, keep moving because anything can happen. So even if you feel like you had a tough day, like you still need to get up, dust yourself off and keep moving. Because anything can happen at the end. So that's amazing. I can't wait to track you all. I was so excited to hear because for me, I'm always like, those are my friends. I hang out with them. Yes, I follow them around. They're amazing. And they're going to be in New Zealand and I'm going to be tracking them. So yeah, I get to say, those are my people. It's good to be able to say those are people that you're close to that you actually know. So congratulations to you both. I continue to learn so much from you. Thank you for sharing your story and your recap of the race. Just before we close, what's next for you all? Amanda, let's go to you. What do you have anything on the horizon? What are you doing next?
Yeah, so one thing I'll do now, I don't just like, you know, put the, you know, shop clothes sign up and like stop training anymore. So like with Chadot, like I just continue to train. And so that's what I've been doing right now. Technically, I don't have anything signed up for. I do a lot of travel for work during the summer, but I would love to, I'm at the point now where I want to be more competitive. I love to qualify for sprint, Olympic nationals, that type of thing. So I figure like maybe in August or September, I know it's probably already too late to do that, but I'll probably just do some Olympics or sprints schedule permitting like in the fall, but I'll continue to train, try to get faster on the run, faster on the bike, stronger on the bike. Throughout the summer months.
Yeah. Well, we look forward to hearing from you and seeing what you have next and what's going on. And please share. Khadija, what else would you like to share about what's next for you and on the horizon?
So I'm doing Lake Placid. I'm excited because it's going to be a road trip for me and my daughter. Aaliyah is going to be riding with me up there to Lake Placid. I'm headed to Morocco. I decided not to race in Australia because of the timing. And I'm headed to Morocco. I have some friends there, and there's a huge Muslim community there that's really interested in triathlon. There's actually a young lady who raced there in a Varlo kit that I sent her. So I'm excited to meet the people there and to race there. And I'm headed to Finland. So, and hopefully we'll see after Lake Placid is done. I may be headed to Nice. We'll see. We'll see. Awesome. We'll see what's written for me, but I'm excited about the season. I'm going places I want to go. The thing for me is I've done a lot of the things that I've wanted to do. Now it's about going places I've never been, helping other people in this sport and just seeing how far I can push myself. That's what I'm excited about.
I think you told me that, you know, which I think I'm telling people now too, because I'm just around you so much. I just want to take my bike all over the world.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. I want to see the world on my bike, swim mm-hmm. in every ocean and see the world on my bike. I really want to do another marathon swim. I thoroughly enjoyed Alligator Lighthouse. I want to do the Veradero swim in Cuba with my cousin. The Veradero swim is near where my father was born, and that's someplace I've always wanted to race. So just doing things that I want to leave. I always tell people I want to die on E. We're only here once. I want to die mm-hmm, on E. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Not waiting for retirement to do a whole bunch of stuff. Exactly. I want to do everything like right now. Exactly. While I'm living. Tissy, what about you? What's next for you?
So I am doing the double this year. So I'm doing Ironman Chattanooga. It'll be, gosh, I feel like this is my third or fourth time. I said I can't stop doing it until I get it right. So I'll probably be doing it for several more years. But I would like to be able to run up Barton Hill 2 times this year. So I'm going to do that. And then after that would be New Zealand. And in between that, it'll be cheering for my kids. My son's doing cross country and my daughter's doing cross country. So I like to be able to kind of egg them on as well.
Yeah, that's fun. And I love following you all and seeing the things that they have next too, because it's inspiring.
Yeah. So,
thank you all for sharing. Thank you for being our guests and providing us with a ton of tips. I look forward to talking to you again on another episode, because you have so many things going on. And I think this audience learned so much from you. So thank you for sharing. And until next time.
All right. Take care, guys.
Have a good
one. Thank you. Thank you for watching Exposed Vegan Media. If you like this episode, please share it with others and subscribe. We look forward to sharing more information with you.